turn again then to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, and we're looking tonight at verses 11 to 15. I think this is one of the most frightening passages in the Bible. Whenever I read this passage and think about it, I begin to feel a deep fear inside. In this passage, God is warning us about terrible, dreadful things. In the book of Revelation, we've read about many terrible, dreadful things that happen in this world. But what we're reading about here is more dreadful, more horrible than anything which ever happens in this world. This passage is here as a warning. And God wants you tonight to listen and to think very carefully about what you hear. God wants you to be warned. Some of you here tonight are still not Christians, and you're in terrible danger. And God wants you to be warned. God wants you to understand what awful danger you're in. And that's why he's given us this passage, so that you will understand what terrible danger you are in. In the last few chapters of Revelation that we've been studying, we've been reading about how God will punish his enemies. We've read about how he'll punish the great city of Babylon. It's a picture of human society, of a wicked society. God will punish human society. And then we read about the beast, which is a picture of evil world leaders. They're like beasts. And we've read about how God will punish them, how he'll cast them into a lake of fire where they'll be tormented forever. And then we've read about how God will punish the false prophets, those who encourage other people to turn away from God. They too will be thrown into the lake of fire. And then we read last week about how God will punish the devil, Satan. However much he struggles and fights, it's certain that in the end God will punish the devil. He too will be hurled into the lake of burning sulfur, where he'll be tormented day and night forever and ever. Yes, God will punish society, and he'll punish wicked world rulers. And he'll punish false prophets who turn other people away from God. And he'll punish the devil. But here in these verses that we're reading about tonight, we're reading about how God will punish ordinary people like you and me. How he'll punish individual human beings. Men and women and children. That's what this passage is about. It's about the fact that one day God is going to judge every single one of us. And there is a dreadful punishment to come for those who are not saved by Jesus Christ. John, earlier in the book of Revelation, has talked to us about what will happen to unbelievers, unsaved people who are alive when the Lord Jesus returns. This was the way that John describes what will happen to those people. Such a person, someone who is alive when the Lord Jesus returns, but hasn't been saved, he will drink of the wine of God's fury, which has been poured full strength into the cup of his wrath. He'll be tormented with burning sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment rises forever and ever. That's the dreadful punishment that will come to those who are alive when the Lord Jesus returns, if they've not been saved. They'll be tormented in the presence of the holy angels and of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torture rises forever and ever. But now, in these verses in Revelation 20, John is answering this question. What about unbelievers who die before the Lord Jesus returns? Is there any escape for them? Is there any way that they can escape from God's judgment and from hell? Is there any way that they can get away with the way they've lived? I don't know when the Lord Jesus will return. I don't know if it'll be in your lifetime or if it'll be after you've died. I don't know how long you've got to live. I don't know whether you're going to be alive for another 70 years, or another 50 years, or another 1 year, or another 24 hours. I don't know the date on which the Lord Jesus will return, and I don't know the date on which you'll die. Either of those dates could be sooner than we imagine. But what this passage tells me is that whatever happens, there is no way that you can escape from being judged by God. There is no way you can escape the punishment that God is preparing for those who are not saved. You see what John says here in Revelation 20, verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. This is John's vision given to him by God. And in his vision he looks and he sees a great throne, a huge throne, and he sees someone sitting on the throne. If this person is sitting on the throne, that means he's the king. John is seeing God the king sitting on his throne. Now, John can't describe the one who's sitting on the throne. He can't describe God, and he doesn't try to, because God is greater than we can possibly imagine. There are no words that we can use to describe God in his greatness. If I tried all night to give you a description of God, a description that would be good enough, big enough, well, I'd get nowhere. You still wouldn't have any idea of how great and glorious God is. So even John in the Bible doesn't try to describe God. But what he does say is that God was sitting on a great white throne. It was a great throne, which shows you that God himself is great. The moment that John saw that huge throne, he knew that God is all-powerful, that God can do anything, that there's nobody who is outside God's reach, that there is no one who can block God or stop God from doing what he wants. He's the great king. He sits on a great throne. And it's a great white throne. Absolutely pure, dazzling white. It's a sign of how holy and pure God is. Even the throne he sits on is spotless. There's not one speck there, not one atom of dirt. If anyone came near that throne, and if they had anything about them that was grubby or dirty, it would show it up immediately. You know how it is when you've got a blazing white light. Let's say when you've got sunshine streaming through the window, and it shows up all the dirt on the window pane, doesn't it? Your mum thought that the window was clean, but then the white sunlight came blazing through the window, and straight away you could see all the dirty fingerprints where you touched the window, and you can see all the dust. And as the light streams into the room, onto the furniture, you can see the dust on the furniture. And in fact, you can see the dust in the air, in the beam of the sun. Something that's dazzling white shows up. Every speck of dirt and dust. Carl and Wendy made the mistake of buying a house with white carpets. Most of you wouldn't want white carpets in your house, would you? Because it shows up all the dirt, all the dust. Well, if anyone came near that throne of God, and if they had one sin, if they had one dirty spot in their life, it would be shown up straight away. There'd be no hiding it. That's what John is saying. That when he saw that throne, that pure, white, huge throne, he knew that there was no way anybody could ever hide any of their sins from God. The God who's sitting on that throne will know about every single sin and will care about every single sin. that anybody's ever committed. Not one of them could be hidden. Not one of them could be overlooked by God. One day, you're going to have to stand before that great white throne. And you're going to have to stand before God, who sits on the great white throne. And all those little secrets of yours, all the things that you've hidden away, the secret thoughts and the secret actions, those dirty things, they're all going to be so obvious then. They won't be hidden any longer. They're all going to be brought to light. Now, before that great white throne, John sees millions upon millions of people gathered. I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. All the people who have ever lived and died are gathered now to stand before that throne to be judged. It says earth and sky fled away from God's presence. John's describing the end of the world. The earth on which we've lived melts away. And the sky above melts away. This world in which we've lived comes to an end. And all the people who have lived in this world are brought back from the dead now. And they stand before the throne of God, one at a time, to be judged. There's no hiding place for any of them. There's no way any of them can hide away and say, well, God won't judge me. You know, when I was at school, sometimes we were warned in advance that a particular teacher was going to spring an exam on us. Perhaps we'd done half a term's work, and he was going to give us a test on that half term's work. And I knew I wasn't ready for it, because all through the half term I had been lazy and I hadn't done the work. And so that morning, when I got up, I might say to my mum, I don't feel very well today. I think perhaps I ought to stay at home. I've got a bit of a tummy ache. And my mum would say, oh, don't be silly, get on the bus. And I said, no, I really don't feel well enough. And she'd insist. And finally I'd set off down the road, hoping I'd miss the bus. But the bus would be there. I'd get on the bus, I'd take me to school. And then all through the morning, I'd be thinking, oh, how am I going to cope when that test comes? It's the first lesson after dinner. And I have to admit that there was one day when we had that sort of test, and I didn't go to the lesson. I just found somewhere to hide. I went and hid in one of the cloakrooms and hoped that the teacher wouldn't ever ask where I was. I hoped that the teacher would just assume that I was off school ill that day. I found myself a hiding place so that I wouldn't be judged, so that I wouldn't be tested. You can do that sometimes. Sometimes you can hide away when there's something awkward going to happen. You can find a hiding place so that nobody catches up with you. But now John tells us that on that day there won't be anywhere to hide. Heaven and earth fled away. and there was no hiding place left for anybody. Every single human being has to stand before that throne of God. Some people may protest, and some people may say, I don't want to go. I don't see why I should. But every one of them will be there, and every one of you will be there. Every single one of you is going to have to stand before God and be judged. Now, there are three questions I want to ask about what we read here. The first is this: who will be judged? I've already answered the question. I've said you'll all be judged, but see it in the words of the Bible. It says, verse 12, and I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. Every single person, the great people and the small people. When John says the great people will be there and will be judged, I suppose he's saying the important people will be there. The famous people will be there. Tony Blair will be there. He'll have to stand in front of that throne, and he'll have to give account of himself. George Bush will be there. President Putin of Russia will be there. And from past generations, Adolf Hitler will be there. And Joseph Stalin will be there. And the Emperor Nero will be there. All the famous people you've ever heard of will be there. We're glad that they're going to be there, aren't we? We're glad that some of those terribly wicked people from the past, people like Adolf Hitler, we're glad that they're going to be there, that they're not going to get away with anything, that God is going to catch up with them. We're glad of that. You know, Adolf Hitler, they never caught up with him here in this world. He shot himself before his enemies managed to catch him and put him on trial. But God is going to catch up with him. He's going to be there on trial before that throne. The important people are going to be there. But the little people are going to be there too. The great people and the small people. The people nobody has ever heard of. People like us. We're pretty unimportant people. I don't think there's any of you who has got your name in Who's Who, which is the big book of the most famous people in Britain. None of you ever get mentioned in the newspapers. None of you ever have programmes about you on the radio. Nobody thinks of you as terribly important people. But you're going to be there, and God is going to judge you, each one of you. When John talks about great people, I suppose he means rich people as well. There are people who are very rich. Well, the fact that they're rich won't make any difference. They'll be there. And they'll have to be judged like everybody else. But the poor people will be there as well. You know, sometimes these days, the idea is put around that rich people are all wicked and poor people are all good. We're all supposed to sympathise with poor people. But rich people and poor people will be dealt with in exactly the same way on the day of judgment. They'll all be there, every one of them. Yes, the wealthiest people in the world, the most famous millionaires, who had more money than they knew what to do with, they'll be there. But those starving peasants from the Sudan or Ethiopia, they'll be there too. And when John says that the great people will be there, he means grown-ups will be there. Middle-aged people and old people. And when he says that little people will be there, he means that children will be there too. There's no age at which you can say, ah, it's above that age that you'll be judged. No. The children will be there, as well as the grown-ups, the small as well as the great. Your parents won't be able to speak for you then. Your parents won't be able to represent you and stand up for you then. It's you yourself who will be there before the throne to be judged. So who will be judged? Everybody. The great and the small. The second question, how will they be judged? This is what it says in verse 12, the second half of the verse. Books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. How will you be judged on this day of judgment? You'll be judged strictly according to what you've done. And all of that is recorded in God's books. God has kept a record of everything you've done from the moment you've been born. He's been keeping a record of every day of your life, every hour of your life, every minute of your life. And on that day of judgment, the books, the records are going to be opened. And everything you've ever done is going to be brought out to be examined by God. All your secrets, they'll all be there on display then. They'll all be read out from the books. The things you've kept hidden from your parents, the things you've kept hidden from your best friends, there'll be no secrets then, because it's all in God's books, and it'll all be brought out, and you'll be judged according to what you've done. God has told us his laws. They're summarized for us in the Ten Commandments, aren't they? You shall put God first. All the time. That's the first commandment. He's more important than anything or anyone. So he must be first. That's the first commandment. You shan't invent your own ideas of God like idols. That's the second commandment. You shall always speak about God in a way that shows you honour him. That's the third commandment. You shall remember that all your life and all your time belongs to God. That's the fourth commandment. You shall honour your father and mother. That's the fifth commandment. You shall never do anything that would harm anybody else or hurt anybody else. That's the sixth commandment. You shall keep your mind and your body pure of dirty thoughts and dirty actions. That's the seventh commandment. You shall always be completely honest. That's the eighth commandment. You shall always be completely truthful and never tell lies. That's the ninth commandment. You shall never be greedy and say, I want this, I want that. That's the tenth commandment. Now, on that day of judgment, this is how you'll be judged. Have you kept those commandments or not? And every single time you've broken any one of those commandments, it's down in the book, and it'll be read out from the book. Every single lie you've ever told, they're all in the book. Every single time you've said something nasty about your parents, it's all there down in the book. Every single time you said, I want this, it's all down there in the book. And all those things are going to be brought out. You'll be judged according to what you've done. Have you kept God's commandments perfectly? Now, it's important to see this. I'm not just talking to the youngsters, I'm talking to all of you. It is so important to see this, that on that day of judgment, every single person is going to be judged by what they've done, by their actions, by their words. There is this idea, which many Christians have, that on the day of judgment, the question is going to be, have you repented and believed, or not? That's not what we read here. What we read here is that the question will be, how did you live? Did you do the things God commanded? Did you stay away from the things that God forbade? What have you done with your life? Have you kept God's laws? Those will be the questions on the day of judgment. And what that means is that on the day of judgment, everything will be perfectly fair. You see, there are plenty of people who have excuses and who say that God should not condemn them. There are people who say, well, it's not my fault I'm not a Christian. It's not my fault that I didn't repent and I didn't believe. Because God never chose me and God never gave me the strength to repent and believe. So it's not fair if he judges me and punishes me. But on the day of judgment, nobody is going to be condemned because they weren't chosen. Nobody is going to be condemned even because they didn't repent and believe. They're going to be condemned because they broke God's commandments. They're going to be condemned because they didn't put God first. They're going to be condemned because they made up their own gods. They're going to be condemned because they didn't honour God's name. They're going to be condemned because they used Sunday selfishly for themselves. They're going to be condemned because they didn't treat their parents rightly. On the day of judgment, you won't be able to say, well, it's my fault that... Or rather, you will have to say, it's my fault, and it's only my fault that I'm in this mess. Because I broke God's commandments. You won't be able to say, oh, it's not fair, I was never given the strength to repent and believe. You've chosen to tell lies. And you've chosen to say those vicious things. And you've chosen to waste Sundays doing the things you wanted to do. And you've chosen to think about what you want instead of what God wants. You've chosen to do these things. All of these things are written in the books. And that's the way you're going to be judged. You're going to be judged according to what's written in the books. And then the third question that we have is this. What will the outcome be of this judgment? We read this. The sea gave up the dead that were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what he'd done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Well, I can't describe for you the lake of fire. It's something that John saw in his vision. And I can't imagine it. I can't imagine a lake that is just one huge fire, big enough for millions upon millions of people to sink into it. But I know that John is telling us about something terrible beyond words. Some of you perhaps have done something silly in the past. Perhaps a friend has dared you to put your finger into a candle flame for 10 seconds. And after 2 seconds, you snatched your finger away. You felt the flame burning your skin. And it's agony. John is talking about something that is agonizing beyond words. A fire that burns on and on and on forever and ever. A fire into which people will sink and drown and yet will not cease to exist. A fire in which their bodies and their minds and their hearts will be one dreadful torment that will never end. I don't know. I can't describe. I can't even imagine what it means. But I know that if any of you are unsaved, that all you have ahead of you is a torment, an agony, a pain that will go on and on and on, and that will be worse than the worst thing that has ever happened in all this world. There'll be a pain that makes all the pains of this world seem nothing by comparison, and it will go on forever, and there will never be an escape from it. John, in his vision, saw it. He saw those people sinking into the lake of fire, and he knew that they would never escape from it. He knew that their agony would go on and on and on. On the day of judgment, you're going to be asked, have you kept God's commandments? Have you kept them perfectly? Everything you ever said, everything you've ever done will be read out from the books. Are you ready for that? Can you face the thought of that? Can you face the thought of standing before God and all your secrets being brought out? Everything you've ever done since the day you were born, and knowing that if you're found guilty, there is the lake of fire waiting to swallow you up. Can you face that? We read in these verses that there is another book. It's called the Book of Life. Earlier in the Book of Revelation, it's given its full name, which is the Book of Life of the Lamb. It's a book in which all the names are listed of the people who belong to Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. The people who have been bought by the blood of the Lord Jesus, the Lamb. The people for whom he died. The people whose sins have been washed out by his blood. You see, on that day of judgment, there are going to be some people who, when the books are opened, and when the great reading begins, when the record of their lives is read out, and all their sins are brought to light, God is going to say about those people, yes, All those sins are in the books, but their sins have been forgiven because of the blood of the Lord Jesus. There are going to be people on that day who are going to be safe because they've got the Lord Jesus to protect them. They've got the Lord Jesus to cover over their sins. Talked about what's written in the books. Every time you've broken God's commandments, it's been written in the books. What do we want you to do about it? Do we want you to try harder? Do we want you to say, all right, I'm going to try and make sure that there's going to be no more sins written in the books? I'm going to try and make sure that tomorrow I don't commit any sins. Well, I hope you do try not to commit any sins. But that's not... Well, but you will do, won't you? That's no answer. What we want you to do is to go to the Lord Jesus. We want you to go to him tonight and say, I have committed all those sins and they're all there in the book. But Lord Jesus, on that day of judgment, please protect me. Please don't let me fall into the lake of fire. Please stand up and be my Saviour on that day. We want you to trust yourself to the Lord Jesus. We want you to put yourself into the hands of the Lord Jesus tonight. You could die tonight. You may live another 70 years. I don't know. But there's only one way of knowing that you're safe for the day of judgment. And that's that you put yourself into the hands of the Lord Jesus now. He's died taking the punishment that sinners deserve. So that on that day of judgment, he can protect sinners who trust him now. Go to the Lord Jesus tonight. And you can say, Lord Jesus, be my Saviour now. And if you trust yourself to him, he will accept you now. And on that day of judgment, he'll be there to shield you. The books will be opened. And all those horrible things that you've said and done and thought will all be read out. And then the Lord Jesus will step forward and say, yes, but this one is mine. This one belongs to me. And instead of being dragged down into the lake of fire, you'll be lifted into the glories and joys of heaven forever by the Lord Jesus. I'm so glad that the Lord Jesus will be there to protect me on that day. When I think about some of the things that are written in the book of my life, when I think about some of the things that I've done over the years, the thought of it all being read out in all its ugliness and shame, oh, it makes me feel sick inside. I'm so glad that when it is read out, the Lord Jesus is going to step forward and say, yes, it's all true, but he belongs to me and I've paid for those sins. That's my hope. That's what I'm resting on. That on that day, the Lord Jesus will be there for me, that whatever sins there are against my name, they're sins that he's paid for. They're sins that he's forgiven. They're sins which he can wipe from the record. The Lord Jesus is going to be there for me. Is he going to be there for you on the day of judgment? May God speak to our hearts through his word.